Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio. From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
There we go. A better start to the show. That was smooth as usual. There we go. These faders are a bit scratchy as well. It's a bit difficult to do that. Welcome for a second time to the show. Full studio today with guests coming along as well. That's incredibly loud as well, I noticed. Mixed week for football, nil or draw, but not a dull nil or draw. Quite a good nil or draw for Cambridge United. City threw away a leading position to go down 3-2 at Beaconsfield. And Histon, wow, what can you say about Histon? 5 wins in a row now. Evan Key picked up 4 goals in one afternoon. Hopefully we'll be talking to Lance and maybe even Robbie Nightingale as well, depending on whether he's around. Haven't had a text back from him yet. We will, however, be talking to Squeeze Football, who'll be in around about 6.25 to talk about what they're doing or what he's doing. I think it's only one person, but we'll find out later on. Following all the local football far more than we do and have time to do, and is anyway not in our catchment area, but we'll be talking to him about that and also about a charity game that's being organised for East Anglian footballers, where the money going to, I think it's Mine, the mental health charity, receiving that, and that's in May. And there is also another charity game going on that we ought to find a bit more about, the Peterborough fans versus Cambridge fans, which again I think that's for Simon Dobbin and another charity. We'll find out more about that one as well and publicise both of them. So if you've got anything you want to say to us, you can do all the usual ways to reach us, 07919 070490 or studio at cambridge105.co.uk. Thanks very much to Polish Waves for the last hour and outside of the rock show, probably the heaviest outro track that I've had before a show, Hit the Road Jack, done like I've never heard it done before, but there you go. So we'll start as we always do with Cambridge United. So a nil or draw, but certainly not a dull nil or draw. I thought we edged the first half, they edged the second half, fairly even and quite a good game considering we had three, well, you call them debutants, but obviously Adam Phillips is under 23, captain Norwich, who's just joined us. So his first league appearance, well, that was his first league appearance, wasn't it? Because he's not featured for anyone else.
First professional.
So, and then... that other bloke that joined, Billy Waters from Northampton, making his debut for us. And surprisingly, because we were talking about it before the game, I'd completely forgotten that actually Darling was still with us. He's been that quiet, but he has played in the senior team in, well, he certainly played in the Bristol City loss for one, I think it was. But his first league appearance. I thought, on balance, quite a good game, and I think it showed some promise given that we were without Leg.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought he had a fantastic game, actually, for a guy. As you say, his first senior league debut, and, you know, he didn't look out of place at all. And I was saying to people sort of around me during the game, this is kind of could be like the Will Norris, you know, for him. You know, when we brought Will back... from his loan from Braintree after he'd been out on loan, you know, perhaps Harry going out and playing a few games and coming in to the team, and, you know, with no pressure as such, and, you know, he can really go on and push on, because, you know, I think he's definitely somebody that will get handed the shirt for the next couple of weeks, dependent on, obviously, you know, what's going on in the transfer window and whether we bring somebody in before next Saturday's game. But I don't think he did anything wrong. I think he had a very good league debut. I thought, of course, I hate to say it, I thought Greg Tate outstanding next to him yesterday.
So, yeah, we were talking talking about this, and we knew it had wound you up. Yeah. But that's exactly what we commented. Mm. Greg Taylor never stopped talking to him in that game, and I think the leadership that he showed. Mm. And there is a consensus as we voted last week. There is a consensus. You talk to pretty much anyone in the press corps, and they all say Greg Taylor's man of the season so far, a player of the season so far. They said exactly the same thing. It's a toss up between Fordy and Taylor, but kind of Fordy is doing his job as a goalkeeper, whereas Taylor is doing more than his job, appearing in three different positions he's played in with varying degrees of success. Mm. But I thought yesterday the way he helped Darling through the game, I thought was really good.
Mm, absolutely, yeah, I think he was. And Deegan as well, okay, he wasn't great on the ball yesterday. Gary Deegan probably wasn't one of his better games, but he again, he was encouraging Harry Darling a lot, and talking to him all the time. And if he made a mistake, he was straight over to him to just talk to him. And then if he did something brilliant, he was straight over to clap his hand and encourage him and tell him to keep going. And as I say, for the amount of money that Mansfield have spent in the summer and some of the players that they've brought in, there are good players at that football club, there's no doubt about it. I think you're completely right, Tim. Second half they stepped it up a gear, and they were the better team in the second half. But apart from one or two chances that they had, one or two sort of ropey moments and a disallowed goal, they really didn't do a lot for a team that are in the playoffs. So I think full credit has to go to the team, and a lot of people worked hard yesterday, and unfortunately we just really didn't get ourselves going in the second half. We reverted to a little bit of hoofball. And it was a bit of a shame, after the first half, when, as you say, I thought we were the better team, we played the better football, and we looked really, really good going forward. So it's a positive. At the end of the day, I mean, the only negative you could say is that they're a team in the playoffs that we kind of need to beat at home if we have any aspirations of getting in the playoffs this year. But it's still a good point. It's another clean sheet. And then, we've got a winnable game Saturday that, we we've got to win.
Forest Green Rovers.
Yeah.
All looking forward to those non-meat pies. It's interesting. We were also talking in the car on the way down here that if you look at when we've played well, it's always when we play the ball to feet.
Mm.
And we always seem to fall apart a little bit when we're hoofing the ball up the pitch. Mm. And I think that's not... It's partly because of poor passing, but it's also partly a failure to read the runs as well. Because you see some really embarrassing. There was a couple yesterday where they were played perfectly to absolutely nobody other than the corner post because they just didn't read the fact that a run wasn't being made. And then there were perfect runs going on that we missed out and passed to someone else. But Lynchy says, so Lynchy couldn't go yesterday. He was watching Real Madrid play like a tin pot. Who were they playing?
Villarreal.
Oh, right. Okay.
They lost in the 88th minute.
Called it last week on the show about the return of Big Bad Barry Cook. Come on, it was hardly a surprise, was it? Everybody else knew. I couldn't believe it, though. Hearing his name on the team sheet is as good as sex. You need to get out more, I think. we were saying, will it be galling to the other players? They'll all be sitting there going, hang on, he hasn't been here for a year and a half, and he's suddenly the saviour of Cambridge United. But had that goal that he headed down into the ground gone in, that would have been just unbelievable. Mm. Also, looks like Billy Waters can bring something to the team. Yeah, I think he looked very different from anything we've got, which is great. Good to see Darling starting to get blooded into the team, but we really do need a centre-back as we're extremely light in this department. This should have been the first thing we did once Tugboat Taft had left. So two questions about the transfer policy. First of all, what do we think? Who do we think is still to come in positional-wise? And secondly, is Billy Waters the person that Derry was talking about prior to the transfer window? I know he'll say it was.
Yeah.
But was it?
Firstly, on Billy Waters, no, I don't think it was. But I have to say, I thought he played very, very well yesterday. I thought he ran the line, and he got a bit frustrated at times because he was getting in some really good positions. And unfortunately, as Uche had one of his Uche games where he just gave away about 50 million fouls. And yes, there were some fantastic pieces of play from Uche. And And then it always ended up sort of falling apart after he'd done the fantastic bit. And Billy Waters did get frustrated because he made some fantastic runs yesterday and, you know, really put the Mansfield defence under pressure. I think he's a bit more of a winger. And I think Cheltenham, when he was at Cheltenham last year, he played more on the wing and he scored a lot of goals from coming in. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, going back to it yesterday, I think Uche should have come off Forecourt him and Waters to play, because I think Waters could have done a lot more of sort of the legwork, the running, the harrying, the chasing. Because, yeah, as I say, Uche didn't have one of his better games yesterday, which is a shame. But, yeah, I don't think Billy Waters is technically the striker that perhaps Derry was looking for. I think that might be one more to watch. But I think the next person probably in will be a centre half. I think that's the most obvious one.
Yeah.
And then it might be a case of perhaps he might move one or two out and then, you know, see what's out there. I mean, I still think we need another left back if we're going to play Taylor at centre half for the rest of the season, especially if legs out for quite a while by what Sean said yesterday.
So I
think a centre half is definitely one that will probably come in potentially this week or next week. I'd like a left back. Whether we get one, I don't know. Yeah. And potentially, I suppose, another winger with a move coming on for his about 5-minute cameo and going off again.
There's a comment that was made by Sean after the interviews about Amu. We'll come to that. So let's listen, because we're trying to squeeze everything in today. It's going to be quite tight. Let's listen to what Sean had to say following the game.
Well, Sean, a good point against very good opposition.
Yeah, I think you're right. Thought we were the best team in the first half, and I thought Mansfield were the best team in the second half. I think it's two good teams there. Thought the way we approached the game, and you know, the way that we created the chances and the formations that we played from in the first half was, you know, gives us a little taste of hopefully what can come. And in the second half, thought if that had been a performance perhaps 6-7 weeks ago, we might have lost that. Thought the defending was exceptional from our lads, and like I've just said there, two very good teams.
One of those games you need to look behind the scoreline to see it was two teams playing on the front foot.
Well, I think so. I think those that came to watch the game today, you know, just by the applause at the final whistle, I think everybody appreciated two good teams out there today. You know, we had a style of play in the first half that was different to Mansfield's, and Mansfield's style of play in the second half caused us a lot of problems.
This on the back of a clean sheet as well, on the back of having to make a change at centre half.
Not only that, but on the back of, you know, three people making the debuts for the football club today. You know, Billy came in yesterday morning. You know, he had, well, you wouldn't call it a training session on a Friday morning. It was just what Friday mornings look like. So him to come in as late as he did, and then Harry obviously making his full league debut, and obviously Adam playing his first senior game of football. I think when you look at that and you kind of, you know, you throw that into the equation as well, it makes me even more happier, really.
What about Harry Darling to come through that game with a clean sheet behind him?
Brilliant. You know, he's had three or four senior appearances for us, and he's been up against some stern opposition. You know, to be up against the likes of Angol is a real tough challenge for anybody. Even the most established League Two centre-halves find that opponent really difficult, and I thought Harry played him really well today.
Alongside him, Greg Taylor, who had an immense game.
Listen, I think I've said as much as I can say about Greg. He's a real reliable guy. I thought him being pitched next to Harry today was perfect, because he actually talks people through games, and he's found his voice over the last two or three years, Greg has, and he's developed into a very, very good first team player for us.
And this in the absence of Leon Legg, what's the problem there?
Yeah, difficult for us. You know, we was training on Monday morning, and perhaps 30 seconds right at the very end, he's fallen on his shoulder, and he's got a problem with his shoulder. So, you know, we still don't know the absolute, you know, extent of the injury, but it is going to keep him out for a while. And, you know, on the back of Tafti going back to Mansfield, you know, we really have to now be active in the market. And, you know, timing sometimes is awful, isn't it? Because, you know, on the back of perhaps everyone will question the Josh Colson move back to Leighton Orient, but that happened about 3 hours before our number one centre-half done his shoulder. So that's Sod's law, isn't it?
Let's look on the other side of the ball, though. Going forward, I thought there were some really positive performances.
Absolutely. You know, to have that different type of centre-forward, you know, to what we've got already, you know, a Billy Waters type that we've been looking for, been searching for a while, I think he'll be a really good player for us. You know, I liked him when he played for Cheltenham. I never felt that, you know, at Northampton you kind of saw the best out of Billy. But I thought that was a top performance. Obviously, he got the man of the match, and that says a lot when a centre-forward doesn't score.
When you sign someone on loan from the under-23s, albeit at a good under-23 setup, you never quite know until you get him on the field. And Alan Phillips, I thought, we do know. He looks very accomplished.
He's grown out of the 23s. You know, he's served his time there. He's now got to start, you know, getting his games under his belt, playing first-team football. And he'll grow. Once again, you know, that was... when you're looking at tough debuts, you know, we've had three debuts today and they've come up against one of the toughest teams in the division. So, all in all, you know, we go home. We're slightly frustrated because we've not won. I think that's natural. I think you should always have that frustration. But there's no anger. You know, I was pleased with the performance and I was pleased with the resoluteness of the second half against a really good team.
Couple of chances in the second half, I thought Utrecht Piezo forced a decent save, and then some chap called Cor forced a save.
I mean, to, you know, you could sense it, couldn't you? You know, Barry coming on and hopefully getting that winner for us. You know, that would have been what dreams are made of. And but obviously signing Barry on a short-term deal gives everybody a lift. You know, and hopefully now he can prove to us that he is fit. And it gives us a major problem at the end of January to if we offer him a deal or not. And I want him to be nothing but successful. I really do.
And it must be good for you as well to be able to turn around and see some options in the dugout.
Well, I mean, if you look at the two or three that missed out of the squad today, you know, it goes to prove that at this stage of the season, we're probably the strongest in terms of the options to what we've had at any stage. So that fills me with a lot of optimism and delight going forward, because, you know, sometimes you need that plan B, you need that plan C. And now we've got a couple of ways of playing. We've played in them couple of ways, I feel, over the past five games really well. And we're looking forward to next week.
So we're going to struggle with all of the audio we've got. So I'll just the David Amu bit, we carried on the press conference afterwards, and the question of Amu came up, and Sean sort of said, you know, that's the frustration of David Amu, is that, you know, he's been injured for a long time. He hasn't been able to break into the team, and he gets his chance and he's injured. And the problem is, as he pointed out, if you've brought Amu on as a substitute and you've brought him on as a third sub, and after 5 minutes, I mean, it was 35 minutes he played in the Colchester game, 5 minutes yesterday, if he's then off after 5 minutes, only an hour into the game, you're playing the rest of the game with 10 men. So they were just saying they're going to have to rethink and probably put him through a full rehabilitation, even though they thought it was only a minor issue. So we won't see him for another 3 or 4 weeks, but hopefully after that he may have, you know, the remaining games in him, because every time he comes on he looks good, but which is even more frustrating. But there you go. So we've got Squeeze Football are sitting outside at the moment, and we'll be joining us shortly, I'm just trying to work out which way to do this. We'll talk about the Forest Green game in a minute. Ollie got an interview with Lee Phillips, who is Adam Phillips' dad, at the game yesterday. So let's listen to what he had to say.
So I'm here at the Abbey Stadium, just outside the Abbey Lounge, and I'm delighted to be joined by New Cambridge United loanee Adam Phillips' dad, Lee. Thank you for joining me, Lee.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem.
So firstly, we'll start with Adam, and you know, firstly we'll talk about his career so far. Just for those who don't know, can you just give us a bit of an update on his career so far and how he's got where he is today?
He originally started at Blackburn Rovers, played there till he was about 11, and then moved on to Liverpool Academy. Where he spent probably 9 years there, playing in the academy there, right through to under 23s level, and then unfortunately, due to probably a couple of bad injuries, well, not bad injuries, but sort of prolonged injury and on a back, a stress fracture on his back. Sadly, he got released. So. He was sort of become available, you know, a free agent, so to speak, and then Norwich had watched him and was interested in him, so that was where he ended up.
Brilliant. And so he was, I guess you say he was at Liverpool so for 9 years, was it?
Yeah, 9 years, yeah, yeah.
9 years. So I guess in the academy you're sort of cocooned, if you like, in one club. And then how do you then deal with being released? How did he react from obviously a young teenager? How did he deal from that and pick himself up from that?
Obviously it's disappointing, you know, that you get released, but you know, there's always other avenues that you've got to look to other avenues that you can go down. You know, it's not the end of the road, you know what I mean? Like I said, unfortunately, one of probably the downfalls of being at a big club is that there's always somebody there wanting to step in, there's always somebody better than you, or you know, wanting to be better than you behind you. So you know, if you, Adam probably missed 12 months of playing, you know, with his injuries, you know, over two spells of bad a back injury. So 12 months in you know, youth football is missing is a lot, you know.
Yeah. And so talking about academies as a whole, there's been a lot of speculation recently and sort of talk about, you know, is it fair on kids that these kids get poached at such young ages? And you know, how did you see any experience of that as a parent, or what's your view on that as a whole?
There's been a lot of changes in other academies over probably since Adam started, really, because I know when Adam first started there was always what they called a catchment area where clubs could only scout within a so many mile radius of the actual academy. There was always little loopholes as to how they could get around it, but probably over the last probably four or five years it has changed, so the radius has become nationwide. So yeah, you can get a situation where the bigger clubs can come in and, you know, lure them away sort of thing, you know.
Yeah. And just moving on to today's game, the lineup will probably be announced in what, about 15 minutes or so. If Adam does play today, what can we expect from him?
He likes to pass the ball. He's got quite a good range of pass in him. You know, he can pass the ball 60 yards and it be on the player's toe straight away. He likes a set piece. Whether he'll get into that today, I don't know. With him being, you know, first game, but yeah, he's a very good read of the ball. You know, he'll pick a pass out. You know, so whatever way, on the floor, in the air, you know, but you know, and also, you know, likes a good tackle as well.
Yeah. And you speak about people like reading the game, a good read of the game. What do you reckon sets players apart at academy level then, because obviously they're all going to be a high standard of ability? What then sets them apart to then go on and reach the top level, or you know, level of playing regularly week in, week out?
I think it's, you know, it's being switched on between learning quicker, you know, between each other, you know, because sometimes when they first do start, they can, you know, you can sometimes see that the better players that obviously shine more, and they're not always reading a game better than a normal player. So it's general trying to get everybody to read the game together, sort of thing, you know, in that sense.
Yeah, brilliant. And sort of talking then about CUF's Cambridge United and how this move came about, was it always planned when he was at Norwich that he would go out on loan at this stage, or was there just an offer came in from Cambridge and it seemed right?
It wasn't necessarily planned straight from the off, but obviously, you know, depending on his position at Norwich, you know, he was getting obviously regular, which he hasn't been doing for probably 6 months. He'd been getting regular 23s game, and it's unfortunately come to a stage in the 23s where it was like he needed that next step, you know, and there wasn't a regular place available at Norwich. So, you know, the club recommend, you know, that your next step is go out on loan to get the regular football, and as they call it, men's football.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll do well today. And finally, for you, are you a nervous watcher, excited watcher? How do you fare when the whistle goes?
Say nervous, probably more excited, really, you know, because it's great to see, you know, if he gets on, he gets his, you know, makes his debut, it's his, you know, first professional debut, so it'd be, you know, a nice achievement, because I've done a hell of a lot of driving around the country, you know, over my years, so it's, you know, but no, it's just great just to see, you know, Adam's always ever wanted to do is just play football, you know, whatever level, he doesn't mind, you know, so it's, you know, whatever he does, whether the next step, it's an achievement, whatever he does. So
brilliant. Thanks very much, Lee, and thanks for joining me, and wish Adam well today.
No problem, thank you very much.
So that, we should make that a feature interview in players' dads. Could be quite interesting, that one.
There's Billy Waters' dad as well, so I might message
him. Well, there you go. Well, we can do that. Okay, so Forest Green. That's a lovely trip to Forest Green and everything that goes with it. And we were just saying afterwards, wondered it, because there was some aggro after. Well, it was actually the coach, but allegedly, I should add, the coaching staff, Forest Green coaching staff, caused the problem, responding badly to some criticism that was thrown at a player. I don't know. I've not heard any more whether the FA are investing.
Or something like enjoy National League next.
Yeah, he's only telling the truth, really. Then, isn't it? Yeah. the team with all the forwards and who can't score goals. There you go. That's what happens when you feed footballers vegan food all the time. But, there you go. So I mean. On paper, we have to win that, don't we? We have to win that. Yeah. It's kind of a given, and given our away form lately, that could actually be quite a good one. And I think prepare us for more difficult, because we've got, you know, it then starts to get a bit harder as we go into the late part of January and into February. Mm. We shall see. Hopefully,
Got to win. I'm going. So yeah. The last time I was there was obviously when we first got relegated. We lost 1-0, and it's the most depressing. Well, second most depressing day of my life. I won't say what the first one was, because Mark's sitting next to me.
Going to say it had to be the Hisley game, really, didn't it?
Well, we've got to win, the players know that.
Yep.
Well, I'm confident that we can beat them quite easily.
Yes. And important note that Dave was back in the stand. It was good to see him. But good to see him back. Mm. And Jez was around as well.
Yeah, was
we were just, it's going to be that's going to be interesting. That's going to play. We're going to see how that plays out over the next week or so, I guess.
I think it's exciting off the field and on the field, isn't it? See what progresses. I mean, finding Derry's best lineup again after getting a few signings in, and also interesting to see what develops off the field as well.
It does indeed. Right, we'll take a quick break. Matt's gonna leave, and we'll get to Squeeze Football in. So we'll take a quick break.
Serving our university city and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
I'm not having much luck with this stupid machine here. You press a button and nothing happens that time. There you go. So we have to keep referring to him at the moment as Squeeze, but it's Stewie, isn't it?
Stewie.
A relatively new venture, this Squeeze Football. Tell us a bit about it.
It was set up in April 2017. As a results service, predominantly because I couldn't get all the results of the local non-league teams together on a Saturday afternoon. I knew quite a few of the footballers who played locally, and I've been watching them. I watched Cambridge United for a long time, but when they got back in the league, that was kind of, we kind of got there. It was kind of the end of one journey, and then Squeeze kind of began. For me, I was watching a lot of my friends play locally, couldn't get all the results, and I thought someone needs to kind of wrap this all up together after the Joey and Sean thing. The community came together. I know Joey quite well. Community came together really well. I thought there's something in this. Over the summer, I set up some polls at the end of last season, got over 3,000 votes. Thing was, at that point, I'd never watched either of the Hayville teams or St. Ives, and I was throwing a lot of the player names in there, having not watched them. One of them was in Australia, hadn't played for 6 months. but he still got, they hijacked the poll, he was doing really well. So the polls went really well over the summer. I thought, okay, I'll run with this. Ollie Drake got appointed manager of God Manchester, who I've known for about 10 years, Ollie. Kind of rung the managers up, they kind of bought into it. The ladies thing was a long-term goal, but again, I got chatting to a couple of them, and that just has taken off as well. And then everything else has kind of come with it, and people have just been responding. It's taken off, it's been fantastic. Added teams here and there, and the county league stuff. Players are really responding, buying into that as well. Didn't realise there was 179 county league teams when I started it. But yeah, we're managing to cover it at the moment.
I mean, it's interesting because we have obviously that was the whole point of the show, really, was to follow local football, and we're kind of a bit hampered by the fact that we used to follow St Neots, but they're kind of outside of the catchment area of the broadcast, so we dropped them. So we concentrate on obviously on City and Histon in non-league and the women's football as well. But I think there is a huge appetite for people in the area for local football.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the thing is, Cambridge, obviously Cambridge United were in non-league for a long time, and there was kind of a period in the mid-2000s where Histon were coming up, so Neots were spending a lot of money, and Cambridge City were very, very consistent for a while, step two, kind of pushing step three. That kind of levelled off a bit, which allowed a lot of the other teams to fill the vacuum, saying, oh, I've certainly started doing really well. Royston on the outskirts have started doing really well. And there's a lot of talent as well locally, not just coming from the big teams. And Story Connor Washington at St Ives is fairly widely told. There's obviously Haverhill Borough enjoyed a historic season last year. And last season, it was an amazing season. Ainsbury and Milton Hall scored over 100 goals. We had promotions. We had last day escapes. We had everything. So I think people started taking, sitting up and taking notice of everything that was going on. It was a mad season. A lot of names were coming into the Football League. Nick Freeman a couple of years ago came from Histon to is now Wickham. Start of this season, Wisbeach sold a 17-year-old to Burnley, and a lot of local players who haven't necessarily played for our teams are doing quite well now. Will Norris obviously was at Royston, now he's at Cambridge. Colton Morris played against West Ham in the cup last week. He's an Impington boy. Obviously Teddy Bishop. So there's quite a lot of players in the area. Izzy Brown was at Histon for a while as a kid. Unfortunately, Izzy's done his ACL, which means he won't be able to play in the charity match, which I'm going to plug in a minute. But he was at Histon as well. So there's a lot of talent from the area. And I think the whole appetite for the area, there's a lot going on, more than even I realised. And there is a huge catchment area. There's teams even I don't cover yet, but it is so broad. There's always games going on. There's always cup matches in the county league system. Teams like Shelford are just consistently producing talent, and it is just fantastic.
Well, so we were saying before the show, what we quite like to do is, because obviously we can only cover the teams that are in the catchment area, but it would be good, and perhaps we can work together to get like a 5-minute summary of the bits that we don't cover again, and we could do something like
absolutely.
That. One of the questions that I noticed that on the Twitter feed, it was you kind of explaining, or you were showing this league of the peak, because they've restructured the league, and that means that the promotions are going to be a little different this year.
Yeah.
And we've kind of struggled trying to work out what that would be, but you've kind of got to the bottom of it, and you're running a little result service for those people who are in that league. Do you want to explain what you know about it?
I'm not sure they've announced formally.
Right.
Yeah. Essentially, where we're at, so they are going to change the furlough none. So that is step five in non-league, essentially. So that is the ninth division of English football. The Southern League have got the rights to another league at step three or four, I think it is. So a lot of teams, because they are on the borders, the two Haverhill teams, South and Walton, are both on the borders. March are on the border. Things are going to change dramatically. We've got to the middle of January and not quite sure. They haven't really told us about the borders yet, but it's kind of guessing. And what we know, we think Thurlow Nunn, step five, so with seven of our teams, Newmarket, Histon, Ely, the two Haverhills, South and Walden and God Manchester, so they will be affected. Haven't said how many teams will go up and down, which is adding to the intrigue with the Haverhill teams. And obviously, Simon Milton Hall, there's a bit of iffy at the moment because their ground, they just had a bombshell about the ground. So next season, there will be two new divisions, one managed by the Southern League, one co-managed by the Thurlow Nunn. So pretty much a lot of teams will be affected. Can't say for certain which ones and what the relegation stuff is going on, but being in the Thurlow Nunn, two teams are runaway leaders. So it looks like a lot of our teams will still be in the Thurlow Nunn. So it looks like they will be affected. From what I know, I think it's going to be north and south in Thurlow Nunn. So Norfolk and Cambridgeshire will be in the north, and Essex and Suffolk would be in the south. As it stands, we've also got the UCL then to consider, which is where Ainsbury are, and Potton and Huntingdon are in UCL Division 1 and both going for promotion, trying to sort of put together a promotion run in UCL 1, which is quite strange. Obviously, Cambridge City are playing at St Ives at the moment. That's a geographical anomaly. But yeah, so it'll be very, very interesting this summer. And actually, it's going to be a nightmare for me to work out. I'm looking forward to embracing it.
And you mentioned, obviously, the charity game. So coming up, that's in May, isn't it? You want to tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so mental health is a big thing. I did a fundraiser last year and I kind of saw the opportunity to match it with Squeeze, with a lot of the players I know. I've got a fair weight, fair contacts in the game, unfortunately. And I kind of thought, with the ladies as well and all of the talent we have in the area, to showcase all of that and to celebrate community, to celebrate football and to tie it together for a mental health charity. A lot of teams, you kind of spend a lot of time together with your teammates, and a lot of people don't tend to talk about the problems, but the statistics are crazy. And it's 1 in 4 people, and now we cover over 120 teams. No, over 220 teams. So if you're looking at 1 in 4 people suffering with mental health, that's a lot of people amongst our teams, amongst the extended community. So what we're doing, we're getting 4 teams together, 2 ladies teams, 2 men's teams, a team of pros and ex-pros with connection to the area. As I said, I haven't announced any names yet, but I can say that Josh Colson, even if he can't play, he has agreed to play, depending on Leighton Orient and their promotion. He's helping me out massively. Dan Gleeson as well, Will Norris, Carlton Morris, all kind of up for it if promotion things don't get in the way. So that kind of talent. And then on our side, it'll be local non-league semi-pro players from step 3 down to step 6. And then the ladies game will be a showcase of local talent, all managed by local managers, all local players involved. And that's at Newmarket Town on May the 20th. We've also, which I'm really, really delighted and privileged to have, CPFT involved, which is Fulbourne Hospital. That's a big thing, so they'll be involved in the promotion and on the day as well, which is fantastic. And there's going to be stuff for families. We've got 4 kids teams going to be our mascots on the day. There's going to be loads of stuff going on. So that's May the 20th at Newmarket Town. Ladies game kicks off at 12, men's game kicks off at 3:30. The press is really going to start in March. But yeah, we announced our first semi-pro player, Corey Kingston at Huntingdon. Got a hat-trick yesterday, so we kind of piggybacked onto that and was like, yeah, he's playing. So that's good.
So you want Evan Key in the side then with 4 yesterday?
Well, that's the thing, he stitched me up there because I've already got the squad sorted.
Oh, no.
So now all of these players are playing well. I texted. Yeah, so crazy stuff. But as I say, a lot of the pro players, we've got some good names in there, but contractually and promotion wise, we'll see what's going on nearer the time. But Josh has been fantastic so far, and Will and Gleese and various others. I think Dave Kitts is coming back as well, and Wonnie will be there, Byron Lawrence who's played at Ipswich, and yeah, Darren Ambrose. Yeah, so there's a few names.
Well, it's interesting. I feel an outside broadcast coming on to end our to end our season in May. Yeah. We could actually make a feature of it. Actually, that might be quite a good thing to do. So yeah, we'll obviously keep in touch over that as you start to make announcements, and we'll be in touch and we'll try and work out a regular contribution
Fantastic.
To the show. So that'll be great. Excellent. Well, thanks very much for joining
us. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thanks very much. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and we will talk about Histon.
Broadcasting from the city centre.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Excellent. Well, there we go. So thanks very much to Stu for joining us. We'll definitely, as I say, talk more about that as it comes along, and a regular contribution. We've got a text. Ollie's got a fan. We've got a text message in. Excellent interview of Adam Phillips' father. More of that, please. So we'll make it a feature then. Footballing dads. There you go. I'm sure we're sure we could get some really embarrassing stories from some of them as well. That'd be quite interesting to do. We could start, because I'm hoping to get Josh Coulson in into the studio if that
works out, that'd be great. We could perhaps get his dad in to talk about that as well. They can embarrass him live on air then. That'd be cool. As we said, Histon, I mean, Histon, what are Histon doing? Five wins in a row now. And 5-2 yesterday. And as I said, Evan Key got four of those goals. Were you there?
No, unfortunately, I couldn't. But no, I mean, it's still a fantastic result. I think actually my one worry this week was that, you know, we put such a colossal effort in against Coggeshall and, you know, so much energy and passion went into that game. You were sort of, my only worry was you were wondering whether Lance would be able to mentally get the players up for this game, because they've gone from playing second to 20th. So that was actually my one worry, that it could potentially be a bit of a banana skin. But no, the lads have applied themselves fantastically, and you know, even though we've conceded a couple, we've gone away from home and scored five, which is, you know, it's really put us on a good roll now. We're five wins on the bounce. We've recently signed a couple of great players in Sam Roach and Rob Ruddy from Mildenhall, which is a bit of a coup. And yeah, things are just going really well at the moment. So like I say, you never know what can happen. Coggeshall again dropped points this weekend. Felixstowe have had a little bit of an iffy run in. They've come out of it with a couple of wins, but they've had to come from behind twice, I believe. So you know, I think it's a perfect opportunity for us to try and put a win against them next week.
I was going to say, and of course that's the game next week.
A huge game, and you know, if you get the win then I think definitely you could say we have an outside shot of being able to catch them.
So just got a text coming in. Laura Slater says she was listening to Squeeze Football, so incredibly proud. There you go. So we will definitely have a tie-in, I think, with Stu on future shows. But I mean, going back to the Histon game, I mean, the Coggeshall game, we talked about this last week, but not the most entertaining game necessarily. It was very frantic, which in itself was entertaining towards the end. Yeah. But Histon had an obvious game plan and stuck to it. And apart from, I mean, they got the goal back, but you still didn't think they were going to make anything of it. But then the last 15, 20 minutes, they really threw everything at it.
I think I did.
It
seems that goal went in, and a lot of us thought it could be curtains.
You kind of did. You did think about it, but yeah, it was interesting. And met Ollie Mears, which is, well,
dream come true.
I was just kind of, he doesn't do media for football, but we were chatting about him, and I wondered if he'd do a music one. But since I know nothing at all about Ollie Mears' music, it probably wouldn't have worked very well for us. But there you go. Let's get Lance hopefully on the phone, and we'll get Lance's view of the game. So just bear with me a second while we see if he's going to answer his phone. So there we go. I mean, this is going to come out. Why is that not actually, doesn't even appear to be ringing? Why is that not ringing? That's weird. I'm getting nothing from that again either. This is nothing's working for me this week. Let's try that again. Hang on. It's sort of dialing out, but nothing's coming up on the system. It's not even ringing, but it does say it's connected now. Oh, that's not going to work then. Okay, so it looks like we're not going to get either Lance or Robbie Nightingale on for this show, but we'll persevere. Evan Key's been ever present on the score sheet, but not only to get a hat trick, but to actually pick up four goals in one game is pretty impressive.
Yeah, he's you know, if you score four on any day, then you're having a blinder. And yeah, you know, he's such a crucial part to the team. You know, really experienced head, has played a couple of leagues higher, so you know he knows all about this level and beyond. And yeah, there's certainly goals in him. You know, he hit a flurry of goals towards the beginning of the season, and then sort of they dried up a little bit. He's sort of been a bit affected by suspension and you know, injury, so that's halted him a little bit sort of mid-season. But you know, he's coming back into his own again, and he's really hitting his stride, as is everyone, I think. You know, the whole squad has really put in some unbelievable performances, you know, not only technically, but you know, the effort and the application that's gone into a lot of the games recently has been absolutely fantastic. So exciting times, really. I think there's, as Lance commented last week, there's just a little bit of a buzz, about the place, just, you know, something kind of reminiscent of our successful period a few years back when we were going up the league. So, you know, something special could be on the horizon. But of course, we don't really know what's going to happen with the league shake-up. You know, as Mr. Squeeze, you know, alluded to, it's a little bit messy at the moment, so we don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, definitely Lance said that he wants to target that top four or five. And like I say, who knows? If we don't go up this season, then I think if we can keep this special bunch of players together, then we can certainly have a good attack on the Thurlow, on North or South or whatever it's going to be next season. So, like I say, exciting times. And absolutely, if you're free next week, then there's you know, a fantastic game on offer at the Glassworld, taking on top of the table. And like I say, if we can beat them, then, you know, why can't we push them all the way? Why not?
Yeah, and I guess the food, having tasted the food at both grounds, I think the food at Histon is nicer than what you're going to get at Forest Green. I mean, I think definitely if you're at a loss for something to do, I mean, I think the Histon are in with a real chance with this game. I think they came with a plan and they executed on that plan really well for the Coggeshall game. Mm-hmm. And if they can do the same, I mean, at least they're going to go into it without fear. I mean, they've won five games on a row. They're scoring freely, which is great. Mm-hmm. They're not conceding too many goals. I think there's only been four goals I think conceded, yeah, over those last five games. So a great all-round performance. And, you know, they go in with, you know, Lance has always talked about the spirit in the dressing room, mm-hmm, being very, very positive even when times weren't going so well. So now that they're doing well, and it must be that much better.
I think that's the other thing as well, I mean, which is really working our favour. We've sort of broken the mould a little bit with this with this bunch of players, and it certainly seems to be a place now where people actually want to be, whereas before you didn't really get the sense that a lot of the players wanted to be at a club that was struggling week in, week out, you know, especially at some points last season and seasons beyond that. But this season, it's like I say, the kind of air about the place has changed, and especially these last few weeks. Again, like Lance alluded to last week, it's everyone. There's a little bit of a buzz about the place, and everyone's starting to get excited about a 3 o'clock kickoff at the Glassworld, which, you know, hasn't necessarily been the case in the past. So I'm hopefully. Next week, like I say, with the draw of the top team coming to the Glassworld, hopefully we can break that 200 barrier. And who knows, beyond that, if we keep on putting in these types of performances, then, like I say, it would be nice to get some people back to the Glassworld, averaging over 200 and having a really good, strong end to the season. And like I say, who knows, if we keep on winning and we put in a bit of a run like Felix Stowe did towards the beginning of the season, if we can do that at the back end of this season, then who knows where we might end up. We could definitely clinch that second or third spot, which, like I say, would definitely throw us in the mix for a potential promotion.
Yeah, definitely. I'm having problems with the phone. It's dialing out because I'm just dialing my own phone, but you can't hear anything when it comes in, so I'm not quite sure what's going on there. But we're obviously not going to be able to do any phone calls to either Lance or Robbie, which is difficult because Steve Warne can't make it either. Well, he was going to be on the phone anyway, so that wouldn't work for us. We could, actually, I'll tell you what we could do. I know it looks like the lead's been taken. Is the lead gone from there? Okay, so plan B is not going to work either, which was actually plug it into the old way of doing things. But someone's stolen the... Oh, hang on.
I think we might be in luck.
We might be able to try this. Oh, yep, we've got some leads here. We might try this the old way. It doesn't work quite as well, unfortunately, because, first of all, we can't easily speak to them. But let's just try and see if I can get hold of Lance. But bear with me a second. I think he's actually been trying to call me because there's an unrecognised
number. Because he's itching to talk about
the
5-2.
Yeah, he is. Well, if you're on a run like that, you definitely want to talk about it, wouldn't you? So let's just grab Lance's number from here. Where is he? I've changed my phone and I haven't got everybody's names in here yet, so I've got all these random numbers that have been getting in touch with me. And I'm not actually going to... Where are we? No, that's not it there either. I should have figured this one out a second ago, but there we go.
This is not going well, is it? This is radio at its finest here, trying to play around with the mobile phone.
This is raw, organic radio.
I'm not exactly the king of multitasking at the best of times, but while I'm talking is actually quite difficult. I can't actually even find anything from him. That's it. He says we can't connect for some reason. So let's now try and dial him from here and see if that actually makes a difference. So I now have to stick that up, and I have to do that one. I think it is Kazan. It's that aux 4, that one there. Hopefully, I'm not sure that I can't just about just make out Lance. But hang on a second, Lance, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, so we now resorted to... We're having some technical difficulties here, so we're now resorting to holding the phone close to the microphone so that people can actually hear you. So hopefully that's going to work okay. But we kind of felt we had to talk to you. 5 in a row and a 5-2 win with Evan Key getting 4 goals.
Yes, it's... I think on paper yesterday we didn't play as well as we had done of late, but I think after the Coggeshall game, then yesterday's game was probably harder than most because... When you beat a team like Coggeshall at home, then to go and have a game away at Hadley, you have to try and double that up by winning away from home and doing as we did yesterday. And obviously, the way we played in most parts of the game, it wasn't great, but it was also very pleasing that we could still grind out a result. And obviously, with Evan getting 4 goals, sometimes yesterday he was unplayable with his running into the box, his bravery in the box, his ability to get on the end of crosses. We looked a threat most times when we went forward, but it was disappointing we conceded 2 goals, but it keeps the run going.
Yeah, and we were saying, I mean, that's kind of been a feature of the run as well, is that you've not conceded many goals, you're scoring fairly freely and not conceding, and really kind of the best of both worlds.
Certainly that. I mean, I think obviously at the moment in front of goal we're a threat. Going forward, it's not just okay, I haven't got 4 yesterday, but it's coming from all over the park. I think at the moment we are a threat from every angle where we attack. Defensively, we've been very strong, and obviously next weekend against Phoenix at home, we have to be the same.
And that's the big one, isn't it? I mean, you're going to go into that game full of confidence, really, having beaten Coggeshall and being on such a run.
Yeah, I mean, the dressing room at the moment is a good place to be. The atmosphere, the camaraderie, the vibrancy of it. We are a strong outfit at the moment, and yesterday was the first time I could say probably in 2-3 months we had a full squad of 16 where my bench can affect the game as well, which is a very, very important thing this time of the season. So for us to go and get a win away yesterday, like I said, next weekend is very, very big in the grand scheme of things. So if we can go to Phoenix, or I hope Phoenix next week, and get a good result, then we have a real chance of being in the top 6.
And as we talked about last week, obviously you sorted out the keeper problems last week with an extension on contract, but also you've brought in a new player this week as well.
Yes, Rob Roddy came in. I've known Rob for many years, and obviously he became available from Millwall. It was perfect timing because Will Norton has done his knee ligaments and he's probably out for 2-3 months. So him being available, and obviously my relationship with Dean Vegas in London is very good. We were able to get him in, and yesterday he had a very competent first game. He looked part of it. He looked already, because he knows probably 5 or 6 of the team anyway. So, and that helps when you've got a dressing room like that. He comes into it. It's not foreign to him. He's come in and done very, very well. So we look strong at the moment, and it's a good place to be, like I said.
And Histon are now tweeting about our leading edge technology that enables us to talk to. But at least we've got you on the show, so that's a good one. I mean, obviously, you know, you talk, you want to be in the top 6, and you're now number 5. Obviously, a result next week would really cement your place in there and set you up for the rest of the season.
Yeah, certainly that. I mean, obviously, we've had a good run. Obviously, had 5 wins in the bounce, like you say. If we can get a win against Felix or a draw against Felix at home next week, then that's still a good result. Because obviously they started unbelievably well at the start of the season. I think it was like 16 or 17 games unbeaten. We've now got a chance to bring them to our place, where the Glasswood has been a bit of a fortress. There's only a couple of teams that beat us here. So if we can get a good result next weekend, all of a sudden, you know, the signs will open up a little bit. We've gradually moved up the table over the last 2 months, and we're now in a position where we can actually strike. We still have a couple of games in hand. Okay, we have to win those, but we're in a good position where we are now, it's in our own hands, basically.
Excellent. Well, hopefully we'll be talking to you next week on the back of a six-game winning streak and moving up the table. Thanks very much for joining us, Lance. Cheers.
Thanks, Tim. I hope so,
too. There you go. So the technology may not have worked perfectly, but we managed to fit it in. And it's also, I've never seen so many tweets coming into the with either mentioning Squeeze or our total lack of ability in the technical department. So
it's a bittersweet day,
isn't it? Listen, we just count that as a good input. It'll look good on our stats at the end of the year. But we're not going to talk. We haven't got time to talk about City, which is unfortunate. But then, since we're not going to get Steve or Robbie on the phone, I'll have to apologise for that. But they were up 2-1, I think, at one stage, and went on, unfortunately, to lose to Beaconsfield 3-2 yesterday. Quite unlucky, by all accounts. We'll see. We'll talk to Steve again next week, hopefully, and get some feedback from Robbie. And you did send me the text on the on the women's football. So what we got? So Cambridge United women
1-2-1 against Stevenage. Campwell and Howlett were the goals. Cambridge City ladies drew with Sudbury. Carla Penny with a late equaliser. Uh-huh. Give the score on the tweet by Shimmits 1-0. And Histon carrying on, it was copying the men's with their good form, 4-1 over Silver End. White and Seagrave with two each.
There you go. So that's it for this. Week. So for those who missed out, although if they've missed out, they're probably not going to hear this, are they? So I'm not sure how that works. But if you missed out and you want to hear it again, or if you think the Squeeze interview was so good, you want to hear it again, or the Adam Phillips, then you can do, because we're now actually podcasting, and you can actually download the show from iTunes. So that'll go up Monday, I would guess,
and will
be
Monday
available. So it'll be tweeted out on the Cambridge 105 Twitter. If you want to listen again, you're welcome to do that. Do stay tuned. We've got Tony Barnfield, a new show, Easy on the Ear, Sunday slot for Easy Music, for Music Easy on the Ear. So stay tuned for that. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week, hopefully, with some news about whether we're going to be able to get Josh Coulson come down. And that would be great if we could. I think, everyone was sad to see him go, and there's a lot to be said before he goes. So hopefully we'll have him on board. Thanks very much.
Cambridge 105 Radio.